And grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ on this life Sunday. Amen. Well, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I'd like us to go to the epistle reading this morning and look at James 1, 17 through 18 and verse 27 and really focus in on these verses this morning where God says to us, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. I'd like us to really think about that last verse, that religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. Life Sunday. You know, in reality, every Sunday is Life Sunday. In fact, every day that we are blessed to live upon this earth is another day of life to celebrate. And we as God's people, we certainly recognize and we celebrate life in the reality that God is the author of life. He has created us. He's given us our physical bodies, that he is our Redeemer. He has given us this incredible new life in faith through Jesus dying on that cross and rising again. And he is our sanctifier. And through the waters of baptism, through hearing the word, God has given to you and me personally the security of everlasting life. That's something to celebrate, right? And not only for one Sunday out of the year, but every moment of every day that we are blessed to live now and even for eternity. And yet, in the culture in which we live, there's great confusion about life itself. And the good news is that from age to age, God's value system remains the same. Because in our culture, really at the core of life issues is really what value do we place on human life in the first place? And certainly the world's value system, and by world, when God uses world generally in Scripture, it refers to those that are separated from Christ, the unbelieving world, and that's how I use that term this morning. The world encourages values and behaviors that are opposed to God and to his righteousness. And just think for a moment how the world looks upon human life. Well, the first problem is that the world, for the most part, doesn't even acknowledge there is a God, does not acknowledge that God is the creator of all things. And our young people in school today, they're being really manipulated. It's really false teaching about evolution. It's presented as fact. If you really want to have something that's very difficult to believe in, that you really need faith, it's evolution. And yet you won't hear that in school. They lay out a few dispersed facts that they claim proves that we have evolved from lower forms of life. And certainly the whole concept of the soul is gone. And because of that, you and I are really just a higher form of animal. Boy, there's a value system, isn't it? We go out and we hunt deer, we shoot it, we cut its throat, we drain the blood. What's the big deal about taking a human being? It's just another form of life, right? Not much different than other animals on this earth. And so that really becomes foundational to really diminishing human beings and what our place is in the way that God created his kingdom. And so then that leaves into this value system. So how does the world value you? What do you think are the important things? And you can see it all over the media. You can see the things that are presented that will make you appear to be of greater value. One thing is your appearance, right? So appearance is a big thing. And of course, our culture decides what kind of an appearance you should have, what you should look like to really be outstanding and of great value. Certainly your net worth, that's a biggie in our culture in terms of how much value is placed on you, or what you know, or who you know, and what it is you do. In fact, don't we kind of succumb to that sometimes when people ask you about your life? How often do you immediately tell them, I'm a precious child of God who was created, redeemed, and sanctified by God? There may be a new pattern for us as we are asked. Instead, where do we generally go as guys especially? Well, we go to what we do. It's the work that we do, or those kinds of things. And it says something about where we even are tempted to go to look at what our value really is. And certainly what you achieve, and even your age, as we see by practice in this country, with there's a certain age within the womb that a child, it's legal to take that child's life. And so age has become a value factor in our culture. And certainly you go to the other end of the scale, there's been a number of discussions about, you know, how are we going to support all these old people? They're very expensive, and what are they really contributing to society? If they're laying in a nursing home bed 90 years old, really should that person continue to be draining resources from our society? Those discussions are happening. And so age becomes a determiner of value. Now that's our culture. But the real key thing for us this morning is, and I ask it to each one of you individually as I ask myself, how do you value yourself? In other words, what is the criteria that you use in your life to state what your value really is? And be honest with yourself in that. Think about things that you've shared with others concerning yourself. And then another question then is what is the foundation of your value system? Where do you get the information, if you will, in order for you to come up with this standard of the way that you are even valuing yourself? You know, it's interesting. We live in a very dangerous time because absolute truth is another cultural thing that is not acceptable anymore. And so instead of absolute truth, we've slid into a very dangerous realm, and it's the danger of opinion. And so values then become opinions. And think about that one. Who's going to determine what the opinion should be? Well, in China, there's a value system. Used to be you could only have one child. Now I understand you can have two. But if you become pregnant again, it's a very serious situation. And the Chinese government even forces abortions upon people. And they're doing this to control their population. So there's an opinion, and there's a value system that they have established, and it's the power behind it that enables them to enforce it. In the United States of America, Roe versus Wade, January 22nd, 1973, little did we know at the time the death knell that that would be for millions, literally millions of human lives in this country. Why did that happen? Well, it's an opinion. It's somebody's opinion of what our value of human life should be. In Europe, there's many countries that they've been way out on the forefront with the whole euthanasia thing. They're dealing with their elderly population, and a number of older folks are volunteering to die, and others maybe not by volunteering, but euthanasia has become a very strong emphasis in that part of the world. Human life and values. Well, you know, the good news is that God's value placed on life is not up for opinion. You ever think about that? God doesn't come to you and me to get our opinion on these issues. But God is absolute, and the truth that he has revealed to us is absolute. And what does absolute mean? That it's universal, that it's fixed, that it's perfect, it's pure, it's non-variable, it's never going to change. God says, this is the way it is, and it stands for all time. In the midst of the world that emphasizes opinion polls. Now, I want you to think about it, how opinion polls have worked in the history of the world. For instance, Adam and Eve. Satan gave them an opinion. You know, oh, God, he didn't want you to eat that forbidden fruit because he knew if you ate of it, you'd become like him. Oh, okay, well, in our opinion, then, we can go ahead and eat that forbidden fruit. Absolute truth steps in, doesn't it? And that's why we announced two more funerals this morning. Because we're all going to die because the judgment for sin is death. That is an absolute, and there's nothing you and I can do about that or change it. David thought, well, gee, I've got, you know, the world standard of values. I know a lot of people. I've got a lot of power. I've got a lot of wealth. And you know what? I can just go out there and commit adultery because I have the authority to do it. That was his opinion. And yet God stepped in, didn't he? Confronted David, the big, powerful King David, in his sin, and confronted him with what? But God's absolute truth. How about James and John? You know, they're even getting together with mom and they're saying, we got to get together. We got to go to Jesus because our opinion is that we can sit at the right hand and the left hand of Jesus. What are they doing? They're in the world value system again. This is going to make us look really good because we're going to be at the top of the food chain, if you will, right next to Jesus. Jesus confronts them, doesn't he? In a very harsh way, and reveals to them what they're thinking is totally different from the absolute truth that our Lord has established. The Apostle Paul, his opinion was that we need to get rid of this Christian movement. You know, we got to just suppress it. We got to get rid of it. This fanatic Jesus that these people are following, we got to end the movement. And he's headed to Damascus, right? And he's going to throw Christians into prison. We're going to suppress this thing. Well, that was his opinion. But absolute truth steps in, right? The Lord speaks to Saul at the time, and he becomes the great apostle Paul. God changed everything. Well, when we ask God about his values, when we ask God about this sense of opinion, here's God's response. It comes from Isaiah 46. To whom will you liken me and make me equal and compare me that we may be alike? Remember this and stand firm. Recall it to mind, you transgressors. Remember the former things of old. For I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand. Boy, those are strong words, aren't they? My counsel shall stand, and I will accomplish all my purpose. God is saying, I don't care what your opinion is. But here's what the truth is, and it's not up for opinion. And so then we can just go through several verses. Malachi chapter 3, for I, the Lord, do not change, God says. Hebrews 13, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Boy, many people have tried to change Jesus, haven't they? Isaiah 48, the grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever. Psalm 33:11. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. There it is again, the counsel of the Lord. God is the Lord of life. He has created the universe and all life in it, and it's not up for opinion. But boy, does the world love to thrive in the opinion polls. And then I think of our text. Through James, God says, keep oneself unstained from what? From the world. Because that's where the world runs. The world swims in the opinion boat. And God says, be careful as a believer that you're not stained by what the world is promoting. From age to age, the church continues to celebrate the precious gift of life. We say unashamedly and ever so boldly, despite what the quote-unquote scientific world is claiming about evolution, that God is the creator. Our absolute God says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 27 of Genesis 1, so God created man in his own image. Now, this is uniquely different from deer or other animals. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God states the truth. And in that statement, God lifts you and me up to a very high value. Above all of the other creatures God has created, because we have been created in his image. We have been given a soul, which is uniquely different. And it's not by chance or accident. In Psalm 139, we hear that you formed my inward parts, God. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. Isn't that cool? God is literally putting our life together in our mother's womb. Lindy and I were watching a show last night, and it was really fascinating about DNA. I knew this, but hadn't really thought about it. Every single human being's DNA is uniquely different. Now think of the billions of people that have lived upon this earth, and yet God, the mastermind, has made each one of us uniquely different from any other human being that has been, is currently living, or will live. And it's identified even in the DNA makeup that we have. God has knitted you and me together in our mother's womb. Again, not by chance or accident. It's God's intervention. It is his intention. It is his gift. If that isn't value enough, then consider what God says about his son. And we celebrated this at Christmas. Galatians 4, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were made under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. And then in 1 Peter, we're reminded that God didn't just say, hey, I'll bring a bunch of money and I'm going to buy my church. No, it's much more expensive than that to God. But we hear it was with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot, the cross, as Angela pointed out to the kids. What value can you place on the cross, by the way? And when you think of why the Lord died on that cross, it was for you and me and all people. What value can you place on that? It's huge. In fact, what does Jesus say? One soul is worth more than all the value of the world. Wow. That's not an opinion. That is God's absolute truth. And so when we look at that little baby developing in a mother's womb, think about that value system. Or when we see that 90-year-plus old woman or man laying on a bed in a nursing home, not able to move, think about that value that God places on that individual. And through the Word, through the gift of the Holy Spirit, you and I are blessed to to be called into this family. And I want us to celebrate that this morning. I want you to open your hymnals to page 323. And it's the catechism, as it's in the hymnal, which is wonderful. And we're looking at the third article. So page 323. And we're going to confess together the third article and the meaning. It's on the left-hand column about a third of the way down the page or so. You see third article, page 323. And so would you confess with me the third article? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And what does this mean? And as we read this, I want you to think about the value God places on you and me. I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way, he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all the believers in Christ. This is most certainly true, absolute truth. What value do you see that God places on your life in these words as we speak them? Can't put a price on it, can you? Has nothing to do with who we know other than knowing and believing in Jesus Christ. Has nothing to do with how much money we have in a bank account or how big our house is. It has everything to do with who God is and what he has done for you and me. Remember, last week we heard these words, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." The Almighty God claiming each of us individually as his own. That is value beyond what we can even understand. Now, we are blessed to know and believe and trust in that. But we live in a culture, and I just feel sorry for our kids. Kids that are not growing up in a Christian home. Kids that are receiving propaganda, and that's what it is. It's not science. That they're just an accident. That they've just evolved from an amoeba. What a devaluing of life. And they grow into adulthood, and that's their foundation from which their opinions work. Who's going to tell them the truth? What an honor and a joy we have. And in this room, statistically, there's probably someone who has considered or gone through with an abortion. Do you think that's too big for God's forgiveness? No. And God wants you especially to know today that he loves you, that you are forgiven. But he wants you now in this new changed life, on this new day, to reach out to others that they won't go through that same pain. If you're at a nursing home and somebody walks by and you hear conversation of, wow, these people just, you know, what are they contributing? You can tell them. You can tell them the value that God has placed upon them. And by the way, if you begin to visit, as a pastor, I've been so blessed since the time of being in my early 30s to be around people in their 90s that are near death that the world would say are worthless by the worldly standards. And I've learned so much because you and they are a wealth of wisdom. And I praise God for many that I have been blessed with through the years. Let us see things through God's eyes, not the opinion of the world. In closing, on Thursday mornings, we're studying the Gospel of John. Remember the woman at the well? Yeah, the woman comes at high noon, heat of the day. Why? Because she's so ostracized by her community for her lifestyle. They look upon her as worthless. But Jesus intentionally goes to that well to meet her, to change her life, to enable her to see and understand how much she is loved by God. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, you and I are honored to do the same. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blesses us with life and who gives us the security of everlasting life. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.